Paul says you can have 10,000 teachers. Now, Apollos is just actually a teacher to them. Peter was just a teacher to them. But Paul said, I must be different. I was with you all when you all were born again. I paid the price for you all to be born again. The third solution to division is to understand that in every revival, in every church and in every fellowship, there is always such a thing as the founding fathers. Sometimes it's singular, sometimes it's plural. And they must always have an important role in the solution of any division. Now, if it's Apollos who wrote this letter, it will not be solved. The only one who could lend authority to solving it is the one who founded the church. He had slightly more authority than Apollos and Cephas. He carried a greater weight. So when we want to solve, if I see a problem, we have been called many times into a peacemaker situation and mediator. When we are called into the situation as a third party neutral, I always look around for the history of the church. How it started. Who started it. Who were the prime force. Who paid the price. And I would try to seek their counsel and influence. Because they will be the one, no matter how many teachers that come into the church, man, no matter how many good orators or employees have come into the church, they will carry a weight of influence. They will be a great party to the solution. So we always look for the founding parties. Because they will be done. See, when we talk about solution to division, remember what we're thinking about. The sheep. For in any division, the sheep is lost and hurt. And we need to be concerned about that. We don't want any sheep that has been once lost but and found and then lost again. So they cannot sing Amazing Grace now. Right. We want them to be able to sing Amazing Grace. I once was lost but now am found. Right. Instead, they will be singing Amazing Mace. I once was saved but now am lost. They're lost in some maze somewhere. Couldn't get back in the confusion. So, Paul talks about his special relationship. So that is a big third key in any solution. If ever you are involved in a division and you know you cannot work together any longer, always seek those with that special relationship. Because they will be a help or a hindrance to the peaceful parting or the continued unity. Either way, it doesn't mean always they have to divide. Sometimes the problem can be solved and then the church can restructure and continue again. It's important to get the founding fathers. Sometimes it's the founding mother. Right? But get them. You see, but some of them have gone. Get them. Because Paul already left the church. But Chloe came and asked for Paul to help. Get them back to be part of the solution. Because they once founded the church. I know Jesus Christ founded the church, but I'm talking in terms of organization and structure and a local church. So that's the third solution. Then we go on to the second major problem that Paul dealt with in chapter 5. The problem of immorality in the church. And here the immorality was hideous because such things were not even done by unbelievers. And Paul says in verse 1 that it was even a shame that it is done in the church because the man was living with his stepmother, his father's wife. And Paul did a few things. It was quite a public sin. And in verse 4, he did something strange that we need to explain, 4 and 5. He says,
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is this delivering to Satan? Some scholars have interpreted it as excommunication. And it may have been, we are not sure whether an actual excommunication was done in that true sense of what many Inquisition groups would seek to do. But what we can have to explain is what it means delivering to Satan. I say, I thought Satan was the enemy. And suddenly Paul is saying, take this man and give him as a present to Satan. Christmas present. So how can that be? For Satan to destroy his flesh so that his spirit can be saved. It says that he will still be saved. What is Paul speaking about? We have to clarify that point, and Paul repeats that statement again in the epistle of Timothy, in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 20, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So it's a whole teaching there that we need to look into. As we study that, we realize we have to study what destruction of the flesh means. It possibly means that the person may be open in a physical sense. Satan is going to cause some sickness or disease or something to come upon that person. And here is where the truths come out. Number one, understand the background. Number one, that by being in fellowship with the church and coming regularly to any fellowship or to a local church or to any fellowship, there is a sense of protection from Satan that we do not realize. We only realize it when the protection is absent. See, most of us don't realize how God has been protecting us. You don't realize that until one day you were not protected. You do not know how many times while you were praying, God has protected. There could have been a robber who came by your house and said, let's get that house. Then your guardian angel went near the robber and said, no, not this house. So the robber heard it probably as a thought and say, no, that's not a good idea. You know, I think let's do the other house. You did not know it because you saw no thieves, you were sleeping soundly, and you were protected. Or on your way, when you travel, you don't know how much God has protected you. We only realize how much we lack God's protection when suddenly you're robbed. Suddenly you got this thing happening to you. That you say, what happened? Where is the protection? And most of us don't realize how important it is to attend a local church and to be in fellowship. There is a sense of protection. I don't like to teach it the way some people teach it, called covering. Do you have a covering? You know, and the way they talk also very fierce. Now, I wonder what they mean, covering. Mosquito net covering or the food covering? Going around trying to cover somebody. What kind of covering? And so they like to use that, especially if a new group is starting off. I'd rather use the word in fellowship. And Paul never used the word, you know, of covering. Rather, he talked about fellowship. God's covering means I'm on top, you're at the bottom. I cover you. Fellowship means I'm on equal level with you. So usually I don't ask, are you covered? Right? But I ask, are you in fellowship?
Are you in fellowship with anyone? There's no lone ranger in the body of Christ. There's no lone ranger. Even lone ranger has his own dog. But there are a lot of lone ranger Christians running around with their masks. Their tonto is missing and their horse is dead. Not much speed. We must be in fellowship. We don't realize how much fellowship ministers to us. In fact, by being with Christians all the time, there are a lot of temptations we have avoided. A lot of immoralities that we avoided. And so here Paul began to talk about destruction of flesh. So we're explaining what delivering to Satan means. Before we could explain that, we have to explain that there is already a protection by being with believers. Where Satan tries to come and you couldn't. Because believers are praying one for another. And usually the leaders of any church, their anointing rubs down the line. And prayers for them ultimately streams downwards. And there is a level of grace that flows from the leader upon the people. If you come under a ministry, you come in under a local church, the leader of the local church, the grace that is on their life comes upon you too. It just in fellowship is imparted. And what happens is, when that fellowship is removed, Satan has more access to attack. Satan has more access to attack. Now, I want you to notice something here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Verse 31. Look at what the Lord Jesus is saying. Remember, Simon is now under the ministry of Jesus. He's under the authority of Jesus and his fellowship with Jesus. He's in Jesus' team. The Lord said in verse 31, Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. Now, do you notice something? Before Satan can attack Simon, Satan has to go through Jesus. Because Simon has come under Jesus' protection, influence, fellowship, and ministry. See, there's something about what we call being in fellowship that is vitally important. For example, in a home, do you know that if the Christian father is the head of the home, before anything can happen to your child or your children or your wife, it is the Christian father who gives the authority away. Either you say the wrong thing, you open a wrong door, and your children get attacked. And I pray for many families and many children, and every time I wanted to pray, sometimes the Lord and the Holy Spirit tell me, go and minister to the father first, because unless he closed the door, I cannot heal here. Because it's the father who opens the door. He is in authority in the home. See, we know that it's present already in the home. I'm just trying to get you to see that picture in a larger sense in a church. Just as Jesus has in his ministry over his disciples. He was like a traveling church. Whenever we come under the leadership of a Christian leader or a church, local body, a fellowship, we come under that person's grace and protection too. The same level of protection God affords that will stream down the line. And as long as that happens, this is what happens. As long as the pastor of a church doesn't sin and open the door, to any area, a lot of His church people will not be attacked.